You are coming to me, say, ah, pastor, daddy, hey, see, oh, I don't pray for one man, oh, he buy me moto. I say, yeah, I know your gift will make a way for you. Praise God. Praise God. But what is God saying concerning that car you are driving? Hallelujah. What is God saying concerning all the testimonies you are given? Can't you see how many cars I have? Can't you see? I can't use shirt made in Aba. All my cars is all my shirt and my shoes Italy. Why? My God is a good God. My God is a good God. Oh, that is wonderful. The truth is, my God also is a good God. Our God is a good God. Is he not? He is. But make sure, hallelujah, you are not impersonating that goodness. You didn't cheat somebody and you are coming to give glory to God. That is what the gospel is today. You are duping people. The Lord told me. When the Lord didn't tell you anything. Hallelujah. The Lord said you should buy me a generator for my house. The Lord said you should buy me a generator. Generator for my house. The Lord said you should buy me a car. The Lord said you should go and sow in the lap of a servant of God for your miracle. Hey. God is seeing what you mean by that type of revelation. And that is the estate of the Laodicean church age. So many churches, then you will understand why God says, many are called, but few are chosen. Those who are chosen, they are known as God's elect. And Apostle Peter said, be diligent to do what? We put it here. We put it here. Where is it? Oh, it's in the handbill. It's in the handbill. To make your calling and election sure. It's in the handbill. Anytime we come, we remember what Apostle Peter said. Be diligent to make your calling and election sure. Because many are called, few are chosen. Are you in the number saved by grace? Oh, already a death sentence has passed over you. It's passed upon you. It's just waiting for the time to fulfill. There are many people here today in the Church of Jesus Christ generally that death hammer is hanging upon them. Just with, in fact, they are death cups going. Why? They are not carrying the word of God according to due order. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Because in Mark chapter 7 verse 7, he was rebuking the Jews. He said, in vain do they worship me, teaching for commandments the doctrine of men. There's the doctrine of men, and there's the doctrine of this Bible. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, for a service to be acceptable before God, I said there are five musts, and we spoke one last Sunday. The first one, which we spoke last Sunday, and I don't want to dwell on it, you can go find the tape and catch up with us. The first one is that service, that sacrifice must be according to his word that has been spoken. Hallelujah. According to his word that has been spoken. What you are doing, what is the word of the Lord concerning it that has been spoken? And we looked at the case of Moses. You know his case, it was to speak. The word of the Lord to him that was spoken to him is that he should go and speak to the rock. Instead, he went and struck the rock. That service cannot be acceptable before God. It will bring death. Instead of speaking, he struck it. It's wrong. Hallelujah. David, the same thing. Even Saul. That is where you heard his story. He was to go and kill all the Amalekites. So sincere, he reserved some animals. What are those animals? He said, I reserve them to do what? So that I will offer sacrifice to thank God for what he has done for us with these Amalekites. And the prophet told him what? He said, obedience is better than sacrifice. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we said there is the due order to go to heaven. There are steps you must follow to go to heaven. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The first step is justification. And there is the due order. There is the written way you are supposed to be justified. Through water baptism. I said it last week. All these things, I'm repeating them because of those of you who came in the second shift. Amen. Try to come. It draws us back. When we should go forward, we continue to draw back. Try to come. Don't sit at home. Be in church. Buy the tapes. For water baptism brings you justified before God. And I say, if you just enter the water and come out, the correct step must be followed. The first thing in Acts 2:38, the first step is first, repent first. He said, repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So, if you don't repent and you go ahead to enter that water in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you have wasted your time. That is not the due order. Repent first. Repent first. And I say, I expect some people to go and re-baptize. Because the truth is, you went inside that water so that you receive deliverance. And water baptism is not for deliverance. Water baptism is for remission of sin. And we spoke so many other things. Please, I just have to move forward. The second, let's take the second one now. Hallelujah. The second must, I said there are five. The second one is, it must be by the one he, God himself, has chosen. I say it again. The service that you are doing, make sure God has chosen you to do it. So, it must be by the one he has chosen. That is, be sure that God has chosen you. Not you choosing yourself. There are people that jump into the ministry because some other person too is doing it. Who be this man? Himself they preach. So himself be minister now for Bride Assembly. Say, if Samuel can be, if Samuel can be, then me too I can be now. Why? I remember when we were in school now. We're in the same class. And in the class. Then they call us. What are you saying? I gave my life to Christ before Samuel now. I remember how I do, make it see he was just drinking. Now I come chairman for Brother Assembly now. He don't be minister. Then me too, I'll be minister. We sit down here. No. He was coordinator here. Now, he don't go. Because in the seat vision. Me too, I the seat vision now. Me too, I will change my seat. William Branham said something. He said that you have no right to come behind the pulpit as a preacher, as a pastor, as a minister, unless you have met with God at the back of the desert like Moses did. And it's important. That statement is important. When God chooses you, he backs you up. When you choose yourself, you will have to sustain yourself by your personal efforts. That's when you will cook up ideas on how to keep the people together. And if God chooses you to be a pastor, when God chooses you to be a pastor is a shepherd. Hallelujah. When God chooses you to be a pastor, I was explaining to my people that when you meet people who are not revelated, they allow their carnality to overshadow even common reasoning. Even common reasoning. Hallelujah. I use myself as an example. I am sure God has called me. Listen. I know how and when he called me. And I know my relationship with him and how he deals with me that lets me know I am still with him. Now, when you are sure of God's calling, like me, I am a shepherd. As a shepherd, listen, church, I am a shepherd, not of my own sheep. God called me to watch over his sheep. So when he calls me, it is his responsibility to bring the sheep to me. Now, when he brings the sheep to me, I have the responsibility to watch over them. For him, not for me. Now, the Bible says in John chapter 10, it says, my sheep know my voice, and the voice of a stranger, they will not follow. Now, that statement is a deep statement for pastors. But not too many pastors have caught the revelation. When a member or some group of members leave the church, a pastor will be getting angry. Why are you getting angry and frustrated? If they were your sheep, they will stay with you. And why do you want to watch over somebody else's sheep? But the reason is simple. Because when they leave, the tithe will reduce. When they leave, it becomes an affront on you. It becomes a stab on you. Because you have made yourself more than what God has made you. If God calls you, he will give you your sheep. Pastors are sitting down here. Now listen. If God calls you, he will give you your sheep. That's why I told our neighbor church here, when I met their Jew here, when we moved in here newly. I don't know him. I've never been here before. We were praying for God to give us a place of worship. God gave us this place. In a miraculous way, this will be my first time of coming to this area at all. Was when I came to look at the land we got. But somebody here, another church, is angry that we have come here because we want to collect his members. And so it was antagonizing us everywhere. You put signboard, they uproot it. You put banner, they scatter it. They stand at the bus stop there, don't follow here. They block road, don't follow here. And I was wondering, is it the same master, me and that man we are serving? Praise the Lord. Church, listen. Hallelujah. I made this statement before him. I met him, I said, why are you harassing us? What is the problem? What are we struggling for? Are you not a pastor? Didn't God call you? If you are sure. He called me too, I am sure. And I was telling my dear brother there. And I told him, I said, if you have been holding my sheep all these years of your ministry, now that I have come here, if they hear my voice, they will leave you and come to me. I said the same thing also. If I have been holding your sheep, now that I came here, God brought me here so that they will hear you on the last speaker. Because your speakers are everywhere. Then they will hear the voice there. Hallelujah. And they will identify, that is where I am supposed to be. They will rush and go there. I said, and there should be no quarrel over it. There should be no quarrel over it. That is what revelation does. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And God can call you and give you 100 members, 100 members. That does not make you better than another person he called and gave 1,000 members. And to start with, to whom much is given, much is demanded. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But the truth is, my church is not growing. Pastor Moses, I want impartation. impartation so that my church will grow. Who imparted on me before my church started growing? Who imparted on me? Where did I go and get impartation for church to grow? That is a nonsense we have been fed with. That a man can impart anointing on you, then your church will begin to grow. Nothing like that. He who called you is the one that will impart it on you. When God calls you, he will anoint you. He will raise up all the people that will support you. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, he knows how to do it. Our brother, he will raise up pillars that will hold, will stand with you. No matter what happened, they will stay with you. They will uphold you in prayer. He will raise up intercessors for you. He will raise up ministers that will walk selflessly with you. Hallelujah. He will raise financiers. And like this church, the members are very stingy. Are you stronger than God? One brother had his breakthrough. He was telling me this night, Vichy. The brother that bought these things for us, these cameras and the rest, he spent over ₦1 million on it. His salary in a month is ₦30,000. And then one favor just came back. He just made that money. And he said that night he was sleeping. He said 2 a.m. a hand woke him up. And woke him. He said, that money, he said, go and take it to bride and buy video camera. Huh? My first money. Huh? Can this be God? This is devil. He said, there was no peace upon him. He tried to sleep. He could not sleep until he picked his phone and called the head of that department and told him, how many cameras do you say? How much does it cost? How much did I have? I said, he said, first thing in the morning, please, I am bringing the money. The head of the department, he said, hey, where this one get the money? Where the carry come? And then he brought, he said, when he finished making that call, then peace came upon him. Continue to touch your hand. God never ready for that money. Tight it. God never ready for that money. You will not know the time you carry the drop. When you drop and finish, your eye go clear. Say, hey, that time don't enter my account. When God calls you, he will raise up support for you. All that you need. You can't help God. All this hypertension pastors have. A revelated pastor can never have hypertension. So if there's anybody that think you are planning to cause hypertension for me, you are wasting your time. I'm a revelated pastor. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. It must be according to his word that has been spoken. Number two, it must be by the one he has chosen. David wanted to build a house of God. If he had gone ahead to build that house of God, if he had gone ahead, will he have been rewarded? No. In fact, he would not have been able to build it. He would have been struggling. God had to specifically tell him, the son that I will give you is the one that will build that house, that temple for me. Not you, because you've shed too much blood. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You can see that in 2 Samuel chapter 7. Read on there like that. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He personally chose Moses. You know that? God personally chose Joshua. Hallelujah. God personally, he will choose all the kings. He is the one that assigned the Levites personally. He is the one that chose Aaron personally. And if he's calling you today, he will personally call you. Listen, he will personally call you. You will know it's from him. Not a minister, a prophet anywhere that will come and meet you and say, Brother Tony, you are the one wasting your time. God is saying, what are you waiting for? Go and start your ministry. God is saying, I should tell you that I'm waiting for you. And you yourself, you have never heard anything from God, directly or indirectly, personally. But anywhere you go, you have a call of God. You have a call of God. The reason they say you have a call of God is because the person giving that revelation himself is unrevelated word-wise. Let me tell you, anytime a true born-again Christian, a sincere Christian, there is a light that is around you that follows you wherever you go. Wherever you go, there's a light that is upon you, that follows you wherever you go. And that is why, anywhere you reach, you will see witches there will be reacting. They will begin to attack you. You never say anything, no. They will begin to attack you because the light that is on you is disturbing them around. Now, an unrevelated prophet, unrevelated, now he sees the light upon you. They say, that is a servant of God. That is a servant of God. Sister, do you know you have the call of God upon you? Why? I see the light upon you. Who told you that call is reflected in a light upon anybody? Which type of call? Call into the ministry. It's not by a light upon you. It's by a definite commission. God comes to you, speaks to you directly. Church, God will speak to you like this. Sister, he will call your name. He will visit you. He will tell you what to do. And you will never forget that experience because a time is going to come when you will remind him of that visitation. To remind him, Lord, I was sitting my tea in JJ for nightclub. You can't tell me, say, make I come. You won't use me. I'm not telling you, say, I won't preach. Now, I won't preach now. Then they attack me here and here. Hey, okay, what happened? I go. And then he will come down. Fear not, my servant. I have not forgotten my covenant with you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Apostle Paul, personally, he was called. The 12 disciples, personally, he called them. John the Baptist, from the mama womb, now he received the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. I remember John the Beloved, his ministry, if you read Revelation chapter 1, he said he was in the island of Patmos on the last day to receive revelation. He knew why he was in that island. It means God must have spoken to him. I allowed them to push you here. Don't think I have forgotten you. Don't think I've abandoned you. I brought you here so that in this quietness I can show you great things that is ahead coming up. So that you can put it down for my people at the appropriate time. To study and understand my plan. So he knew, and that is what sustained him in the whole of that island. An island that was so dangerous, but because it is God that placed him there, none of those dangers came near him. Oh, if you don't catch this revelation, I don't know what else you will catch. They put him there so that the animals there will finish him. But they didn't know that it was God's call. God has spoken to him that nothing will happen. Specifically, nothing will happen. If God has called you, he watches over you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Because William Branham, his own vindication. Hallelujah. He heard the voice. You heard his testimony. He said, a lot of unusual things were happening around him. And he decided to seek the face of the Lord. Why all these unusual things around? And he was praying one day, trying to read his life story that he spoke. He said he was praying that day in his room when a huge man entered the room. He said he was hearing the steps and a light around him like that. He turned and looked. The description he described must have been a giant looking man. He walked and came to him and stood before him. He said, I have been sent to you from the presence of the Lord. to explain to you that this unusual lifestyle you see all around you, it is because God has chosen to use you. For He, God, has chosen you, and He will give you a gift that will send you around the world. A healing gift. That was where they started with. Bring you before kings, before princes, before nations. He gave him the commission. William Branham said something. He said, any time in the course of his ministry, and he meets a tough case, he's casting out a demon, and the demon refuses to go. Or a terrible situation he finds himself, he said, all he does is to remind God that day in that room. He said, before he finished quoting that experience that day, he said, that demon knows better than to stay. The demon will jump out. Why? He has a reference point. Some of you, your reference point, now the prophecy where one prophet give you, now make you go and start a church. Amen. When trouble come, you have to look for that prophet now to go and meet him. Hey prophet, that prophecy where you give me, I start now. See what happens, see what happens, see what happens. Then the prophet will enter into the spirit again, Abby. No, that is not the due order. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Church, what I'm saying, I am certain, I am sure, I am talking to somebody here. Somebody that God wants to use. I use mightily too. But God wants you to serve Him according to the due order. Hallelujah. Don't run on your own. And let's close it on the story of Ahimaaz for this one point. Praise the Lord. We know the story of Ahimaaz. Those of you who come for Bible study, we have spoken about Ahimaaz. Let's read it. 2 Samuel chapter 18. And I will read. Hallelujah. We know the story. Are we there? Because some people here, their name is Ahimaaz. You will know why. Amen. Absalom, the son of David, decided to go on in battle. Amen. With his father, David. And in this battle, something happened there. Let's read on from verse 5. He was sending his generals to that battle. He had the instruction that David gave his generals. Hallelujah. And the king commanded Joab and Abishai and Ittai, saying, deal gently for my sake with the young man, even with Absalom. And all the people heard when the king gave all the captains charge concerning Absalom. So the people went out into the field against Israel, and the battle was in the wood of Ephraim, where the people of Israel were slain before the servants of David. And there was there a great slaughter that day of 20,000 men. For the battle was there scattered over the face of all the country, and the wood devoured more people that day than the sword devoured. So it was a seriously thick forest. And Absalom met the servants of David. And Absalom rode upon a mule, and the mule went under the thick boughs of a great oak, and his head caught hold of the oak. And was taken up between the heaven and the earth. That is, he was hanging there. And the mule that was under him went away. Now, animal now. Your master, the thing hanging there, the animal still continued the work, they go. Verse 10. And a certain man saw it and told Joab and said, behold, I saw Absalom hanged in an oak. And Joab said unto the man that told him, and behold, thou sawest him? And why didst thou not smite him there to the ground? And I will have given thee 10 shekels of silver and a girdle. And the man said unto Joab, though I should receive 1,000 shekels of silver in my hand, yet will I not put forth my hand against the king's son. For in our hearing, the king charged thee and Abishai, and Ittai, saying, beware that none touch the young man Absalom. Otherwise, I shall have wrought falsehood against my own life. For there is no matter hid from the king, and thou thyself will have set thyself against me. Then said Joab, I may not tarry thus with thee. That is why I'm not wasting my time with you. And he took 3 darts in his hand and thrust them through the heart of Absalom while he was yet alive in the midst of the oak. And 10 young men that bear Joab's armor compassed about and smote Absalom and slew him. And Joab blew the trumpet, and the people returned from pursuing after Israel, for Joab held back the people. And they took Absalom and cast him into a great pit in the wood, and laid a very great heap of stones upon him, and all Israel fled everyone to his tent. Now Absalom in his lifetime had taken and reared up for himself a pillar which is in the king's state. For he said, I have no son to keep my name in remembrance. And he called the pillar after his own name, and is called unto this day Absalom's place. Now, verse 19 is where I want to emphasize. See what took place. Then said Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, let me now run and bear the king tidings how that the Lord has avenged him of his enemies. Ahimaaz offered by himself. I'm still reading. Ahimaaz offered by himself. He jumped up that, hey, Joab. Joab is the general in charge of that battle. Hey, let me run and go and tell the king that God don't finish all his enemies. Amen. That is, he is the one that offered by himself to go. There are so many ministers today, you are the one that call yourself. Okay, let me read on. And Joab said unto him, thou shalt not bear tidings this day, but thou shalt bear tidings another day. But this day, thou shalt bear no tidings, because the king's son is dead. That is, you are good, but wait for your own time. For this matter of delivering this type of message, you are not the one that is supposed to do it. Because going before the king, there is a special way you will go. And there are those who are trained to know how to deliver such a message. Because he knows that the king loves Absalom, his son, so much despite the rebellion. And if the king should hear that Absalom is dead, he can break his heart. There must be a way to convey that message. Church, it's not everybody that can preach the gospel of salvation. It's not everybody that can jump up and say, I'm an evangelist. It's not everybody that can stand to preach the gospel. It's not everybody. There is something else for everyone to do. Everybody has something to do, but it's not everybody that can be a preacher of this message. Something has happened. You want to go and deliver the message. Ahimaaz. Hallelujah. Verse 21. Then said Joab to Cushi. Now, see, the person he selected is Cushi. Go tell the king what thou hast seen. You see, Cushi didn't come and say, I will go. If he said Joab cannot do it, then let me come and do it. No. Cushi was sitting himself. Look, every true servant of God never goes to God and say, Lord, make me a mighty pastor. Lord, make me a mighty prophet. Lord, I want to have the biggest ministry in the whole world. Lord. Here am I, use me. Here am I, send me. If the Lord needs somebody, here am I, send me. You want to help God. You think God doesn't know the people he wants to use. You think God needs that prayer from you. Lord, use me. If you need anybody, here am I. Lord, use me. You are Ahimaaz. It's Ahimaaz that came like that. And we go. I will go and do it. Am I talking to somebody? Who am I talking to? Who? Okay, how many? Thank you. Wait! When it's time for God to call you, He will call you. He will use you. William Branham said something. He said, those that can do it, that God has decided that they are the ones He will use. He said, there's one identity about, they said they are always unwilling. He said, those who call themselves, they are those that jump ahead. I will. That is evidence God didn't call you. You are the one calling yourself. Don't call yourself. That is not the order. Leave God to call you by Himself. That's a difficult thing I'm saying now. Don't call yourself. Don't. If you call yourself, you won't be doing corner ministry.